podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
From the Fifth Quarter Studio in Madison, Wisconsin, you're listening to High School Hoops with your hosts, Steve Collins and Jake Steger.
All right, welcome to High School Hoops. Not like
good
last
job.
Week,
where I
was coaching youth hoops, which is a great podcast, and you should listen to it. Bill's awesome. But High School Hoops. All right, so before we jump into today's topic, which is one of my favorites, I think I'm pretty good at this topic.
That's why I'm asking you and talking to you about ideas.
It's good. I want to give a shout out to our two sponsors. First of all, Dr. Dish, the number one shooting machine on the market. Jake needs to get one. I have three of them. Anyway, mention us, you'll get $450 off. And then also, look at this is my daughter's yellow jackets.
Nice.
Baldwin Wallace yellow jackets. Anyway, we were talking about my daughter's college before we jumped on. Anyway, and then also go over and check out teachhoops.com for coaches who want to get better. The one-stop shop for basketball coaches, everything that I would have wanted as a coach. Maybe 5.5 hours yesterday. I was talking to coaches all over. I was talking to a coach that's going to be really good and trying to figure out how to win early. I was talking to a coach about how to do his own offense. I was talking to another coach that they didn't win a game last year. So, and I love it because I feel like I'm helping people. But anyway, if you're looking for a mentor, looking for resources, teachhoops.com is the answer for you. Prices are going up in October. And this is September. So just, you know, less people, more people I can help. So anyway.
Absolutely.
Yeah. All right. So conditioning. Yes. There's the answer. Condition.
Yeah. And I get that. But, you know, it's like, where is your preseason conditioning? You know, like, I mean, do you give your guys – a scope and sequence of something to do to make sure they're conditioned. I know a lot of high schools now have the after school program with weightlifting and conditioning. I'm a huge advocate in our community of, my team, my girls playing multiple sports and competing, which is great. Basketball shape is different.
Than volleyball shape. It is different than volleyball shape. It's different than cross country shape.
Yeah, they're all great competitive sports. I love all of them. They're great sports, but basketball is a different type of conditioning. And so I just don't think nothing truly prepares you for that first day of practice when you're like, oh my gosh, I forgot how much this takes.
Well, and as a boys coach, football is possibly the worst thing. So just a couple things. Yes, we have a school-wide conditioning thing that we do for non-fall athletes, which is helpful. It's usually about half my team's not a fall athlete. They either play, maybe they're baseball players. You know, big school. I think the last time I checked, we're the sixth largest high school in the state. So it's really –
I think you're pretty close.
Yeah, so it's pretty hard to be a three sporter, a lot of two sporters. But anyway, so the ones that aren't, we have things for them. We have the weight training after school, but we also have morning conditioning. We have a nice little hill behind school that's good before it gets too cold. So we try to do that. I try to get them in playing too, running a little bit, because that seems to be a good thing for them as far as just getting reps and stuff. My biggest worry is those.
So how do they
players.
Lead themselves into that coach? So
you
know,
they don't. It's a school wide thing. Someone runs.
Okay.
It. Yeah. There's
so that's a nice. That's a nice thing that you're.
Because it's legal. Because it's not. It's open to every athlete. So we have girls. And it's not. Players, and
you're not
hockey players.
Right.
Yeah. And if I am running it, everyone can do it. It's just conditioning. Right. It's not like we're bringing basketballs out. It's like conditioning. It's basically just conditioning. Maybe some agility stuff. We do some ladder stuff. But it's a school-wide thing. So I like it from a community standpoint because it's everybody.
Yeah, I think it's a great idea.
Isn't that a great idea?
Yeah.
Makes me a little bit more tired when it's my turn sometimes. But anyway, I love sitting at the top of that hill and just, anyway, I love sitting at the top of that hill. And then up, get down. But so I do give them some stuff as far as it's hard. It's like you want your football team to do well, but all of a sudden they do well, and then it's 3 weeks later, or you know, they got a 4 days. I was talking to a coach, I was talking to T-Troops members the other day, and he's convinced he's gonna have like four practices before his hardest game of the year. Because his football players are gonna be playing till Thursday, and then he's gonna have to play
that good a group of athletes, especially. You know, and you'll find that even like the smaller communities, you'll find that even more when you really have a good group of athletes. You know, at the smaller communities, they are the key player of their football team, their basketball team.
Yeah, he's talking quarterback, secondary, a couple.
Yeah, exactly. But right, and that's very, very common in a small community.
It is, but the problem is you don't want to beat them up. You know, shin splints are caused from overuse. You do not want to injure over you. So the problem is you got to progress slowly into that.
Right.
And that's where hopefully if you have a couple weeks, you know, they can slowly, you know, because what is basketball? Think about conditioning of basketball. I've talked to enough people about this. I'm actually going to talk to some coaches and some professors down at the UW next week about conditioning and nutrition and stuff, which I'm really excited about. But if you think about it, it's spurts, right?
Right.
Like it is fast, quick spurts. And maybe it's spurt, rest. It's not like football is like go and then rest for 30 seconds and then go and then rest for 30 seconds. Or soccer, they're walking. There's a video right now about Messi. If you saw his last goal that he scored, he was walking for literally like 45 seconds. He was just watching the field. And then all of a sudden, whoop, and he scores and they win.
Well, somebody who has coached and played soccer, I don't want people to think that soccer players walk. But if you do have soccer players that are walking in a game, that means the team is doing a very good job possessing the soccer ball. There should be times in which if you're playing the game of soccer correctly, you should be walking at some component.
Right. So, and no, I mean, this is professional. No. I'm not saying he's not.
Soccer people, run that I'm a soccer guy. I'm
saying he wasn't running. You know, I'm just saying it's a different conditioning.
It is. And there are times when the offense is being offense and the defense gets a little break or the defense is getting a little break. Now, depending on your position, it might be a little bit different. But even that point, you know, I you talked about, you know, high schools having, you know, conditioning weight room. That's awesome. But I think then it comes down to, you know, how much time do you allot in the practice time for conditioning in those first couple weeks of practice.
Yeah, and I like to not.
Right.
But I do some because we have a conditioning drill that we use to kind of earn their practice gear and stuff. Yes, I mean, I agree. I don't want to, but I have to. And that's partially. But I don't want to, like, I also don't want to beat them up and, like, run just for the sake of running. You know, we do a ladder one where they're dribbling the ball and stuff like that. So I think any way that you can condition and use basketball skills makes it a lot better, 1,000 times better.
Right. You know, some full court, some shooting drills. There's a lot of stuff out there, full court shooting drills those are great. You know, I've tried to use that Syracuse conditioning stuff that you've gave me with the basketball.
Yeah, and the dribbling stuff is good. The shooting, the full court, I think my Syracuse drill or whatever I call it, you used to call it. But that shooting drill is great, but you have to put something. There has to be a bar, depending on your team, of, you know, you got to make 83 in 3 minutes or whatever it is.
Right, you've got to add an element of competitiveness with basketball. Yeah. Then they're just shooting to shoot. Like, how many shots can you guys make in a matter of this time with that conditioning? So they're actually running at a rate where they're actually conditioning their body.
Yes.
Not just going through the motion.
Yes,
that's a good point. So we talk about there are, you know, there's the avenues of, you know, the weight room and the high school programs and stuff for preseason kids before the season for all athletes. Then we talk about how do we add that element into our practice, you know? And I think being able to have those things in place where there is a basketball involved really helps.
It does. It just makes it so much easier And again, it's kind of like the two ball dribbling. I want two ball dribbling because I want them to be dribbling and I want them working on both of their hands at the same time. It's the same thing with conditioning. If you
and it maximizes your time, right? If you just want to get their touch back, two ball is perfect for a 3 or 4 minutes every day in practice for the first couple weeks of practice, because you are initiating both hands and you're really just working on just getting the feel of the ball back. And then you keep moving that forward as the season goes on. And I think the hardest thing too is this for us, and I would say across the United States, right? There are less days in our schedule now where we can add those elements of conditioning because we are playing more games, you know? So we are playing more games and less ample opportunity to make sure we're in the best condition for those games. So it becomes a very hard task to do. Right. So I do think that as talking coaches, as talking in season, you do got to put a set aside some time with the basketball, without the basketball, to make sure that they are conditioned because they're going to play a lot of games.
Right. And it's like, yeah. And that's the only way. Yeah. We play too many games. Don't get me started on that. But yeah.
See, I agree. I feel like you play way too many games too, you know, but that's not a conversation.
That's way above our pay grade at this
point. Yeah. And it's also just something that what are we going to do? Argue about it. It looks like there's nothing we can do about it at this point, but you know, cause I feel like, you know, there's just that piece of development and being playing good quality basketball. Sometimes when you're not well conditioned, you have too many games, you're not seeing the quality of basketball. You know, I'd rather play less games and have really good competitive games and see my team play really good quality basketball than just playing the game for sake of it. Because then guess what happens, coach? Bad habits, right?
Bad habits.
And it takes longer and less, you have less time to do that. But that's a whole other thing. So
that's another topic. That, you know, anything else on conditioning, coach?
It's something that I believe that one thing that I wrote down is that for conditioning is early on in the season, well-conditioned teams tend to have more success than those that do not. And so that's where I think I wanted to add this piece, you know, and letting your, even when you're going in that preseason meeting and talking to your team and your program and whether they do it at home or provide an outline for them, just understanding if we are conditioned, our success early on is going to be where we want it to be. And if you're not conditioned as much, you're not going to knock down the shots that you want. You're not going to take care of the basketball as well as you want to. You might pick up cheap fouls. So, and I believe that sometimes the best thing is that conditioning is something that everybody can take control of. You choose to do it or you choose not to do it. You don't have to be great at it. You just have to do it and do it in,
and you do get it in a way that you got to get buy-in. You got to get buy-in. I agree. All right, coach, till next week.
Yep. Thanks.
Sports Social Podcast Network.